cutting the foot traffic like a hot knife through butter. Rufus dodged around the farthest guy, swearing all the while. Chad had vanished so suddenly, he could have been a victim in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Rufus jogged the rest of the block, jumped a river of brown slush on the corner that the street gutters were unable to keep up with after the amount of snow that had recently fallen, and caught Chad entering a bodega on the corner of 21st and 3rd. Rufus followed. The thing about Chad was that the cops had been champing at the bit for him for a while, but there was never enough evidence to prove he'd been the one actually dealing. It was always a he-said-she-said kind of situation. But after those folks had dropped dead, pressure mounted to catch Chad in the act of selling his fentanyl-laced garbage. The NYPD had been scoping out Port Authority, certain Chad would be making his trade-offs there, considering it was such a hotspot for hard drugs in the city. But when they had nothing to show for their time and money, CIs had been called. Specifically, Rufus had been called. And while it wasn't a particularly thrilling assignment, he knew that the cops, bless their hearts, were playing a game of Marco Polo with a brick wall. So he'd agreed to the job, and within 2 days had found Chad. The bell over the door chimed as Rufus stepped inside the bodega. He wandered down the aisle of processed snack foods opposite the drink coolers. He grabbed a bag of Takis, tore it open, and pulled a few hot sticks out to eat while moseying to the counter. Chad stood there, pretending to read one of the few Subway rags still making its money from print editions. He murmured opinions on the headlines to the man behind the counter. The guy manning the register, his attention mostly on Chad, glanced at Rufus long enough to say, $1.50.
Can I get one of these scratch-offs too?
Rufus pointed to the roll of tickets hanging from the wall at the man's back. The $2 game. He slid a few dollars across the counter, accepted the lotto ticket, and moved back several steps to a refrigerated deli case. Leaning against the rounded glass, Rufus pocketed the Takis and then dug out a quarter and his burner phone. He turned on the screen and a text message from an unknown number immediately popped up. Gentle Patriot, Jen Nosta here. I'm running for re-election and I need your help. Are you registered to vote in the coming new year? Rufus dismissed the message and tapped the camera app. Another text notification appeared. It's your American duty. And another. Make your voice heard.
Fucking Christ,
Rufus whispered. Type Y for yes and N for no. Text message rates may apply. Rufus swallowed a growl, tapped Y to get the voting bot off his goddamn back, then positioned himself in such a way that while scratching the lotto ticket with the edge of his quarter, he could rest the phone in the bend of his elbow and snap photos of Chad dealing coke to the bodega guy who had a face full of acne scars. Rufus tap-tap-tapped the phone screen, picture after picture with the location, date, and time metadata turned on, catching Chad not so discreetly passing drugs in a fumbling handshake. Help us make America safe again by donating now.
Fuck!
Rufus said, this time loud enough that he saw Chad from the corner of his eye turn to look. So Rufus blurted out,
I didn't win.
Chad said something that sounded suspiciously like dumbass fag before he saw himself out. Rufus tore the lotto ticket into a few pieces and shoved the confetti into his jacket pocket. As he passed the cashier, he said, Have a good night.
Whatever.
When Rufus stepped outside, Chad had already disappeared into the evening crowds. Opening a blank text message, he put in Eric's number from memory, dropped a map with a pin, then flooded the detective with the still photos he'd taken. Eric responded within a minute, a thumbs-up emoji. Having earned his paycheck for the week, Rufus put his hands into his pockets, about-faced, and started the long walk home. Chapter 2. The honking on the street below never stopped. Sirens, 24/7. The radiators were always